Are we bow in awe of your presence in our midst this evening? Thank you so much, Father. We do not take it for granted. As we approach your word once again this evening, Father, I come by the blood of Jesus, confessing our sins, receiving forgiveness for myself and everyone here gathered today, a cleansing and a purging of our conscience from dead works, and a guilty conscience to serve you, the living God. Heavenly Father, as I go to your word this day, I strip myself of every confidence that I might have in my knowledge or ability to share. I place all of my confidence in your mercies, Father, in the grace, the sufficiency of your grace and the help of Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, you will, by your Spirit, you speak through me in such a way and in such a way to bring glory and honor unto your name. As your word goes forth, let it go forth in power and clarity, in simplicity, and the comfort and the love of the Spirit. Do that internal and eternal work in our heart and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by the revelation of the word that comes to them, and our emotions further controlled by the power of fruit of the Spirit. I also ask that, Lord, as the word goes forth, help us to once again write the vision, to make it plain. So as we read, we will run with the vision, for this vision is for this set time we are in. That, Lord God, you will no longer tarry, but you will manifest, Lord God, bringing praise and glory to your name in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we also ask for finishing grace to finish well, even in this day we are in the name of Jesus. I ask for help, Holy Spirit, to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Also, duck under the covenant, first through to our parents, that, Lord God, by your mercy and your grace, you help me to bring forth a word in this season, Lord God, to cause glory to go to your name and blessings unto the sons of men. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're not just coming out, we are going to come out in glory and in power. Praise the Lord. The title of our message today is Bringing Many Sons to Glory. Let's say together, Bringing Many Sons to Glory. You see, it's very important when we begin a journey to know the end of a journey. Because if you don't know the end of the journey you started, or if anybody starts a journey and you don't know the end, you are likely to stop by the way and camp somewhere and assume that you've reached the end of the journey. You see, and then it's so important for whatever I said when I was praying, that we should write, but say write the vision when I was talking to Habakkuk. Habakkuk was discouraged about things that were happening in Israel at that time. They were believing God for different things. You know, they were being persecuted, they were being troubled. And he went to God and said, God, why are you keeping quiet about what is happening in this nation? What is going on? Why are you just keeping quiet? And God spoke to him, look, like, write the vision. Make it plain so that he that readeth it may run. That is the vision that God told Habakkuk to write, not only for Habakkuk, for the whole of Israel to read. So as they read, they keep on running with that vision. He said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Say, don't you tarry, wait for it. Say, will not tarry. What are we saying? Why are we saying this? We're in that season in which God is bringing many sons to glory. And it's very important for us to rewrite the vision if you've lost it, or make it clearer by the grace of God. So let's have our Bible's book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse let's read from verse 1. It's because when you read the book of Hebrews, especially in verse 2, when Paul started talking to the Hebrew Christians, you know, he started warning them. And he said, therefore, we ought to give the, let's read it, therefore, we ought to give the more earnestly to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them sleep. That means it is possible for them to sleep. Next verse. Next verse, please. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Next verse. How shall we escape? Say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's put this verse in the Amplified Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So how shall we escape? How are we going to escape? You know, this word escape should remind you of when the master was talking. He said that, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? How are you going to escape? He says, how shall we escape appropriate retribution if we neglect, and refuse to pay attention to such a great salvation as is now offered to us, letting it drift past us? That is, something is coming by forever. That means it must take place in a kairos moment. That means if you miss that moment, it's good. Well, we will not miss it in Jesus' name. For it was declared at first by the Lord himself, and it was confirmed to us and proved to be real and genuine by those who personally heard him speak. What are we saying? Let's move to verse 10 because of time. He calls this salvation a great salvation. Put it back in Okay, well, okay, let's first of all read it. For it became him, let's go. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in what? Bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of salvation perfect through sufferings. Next verse. Please, you need to hurry, but please. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. That means there is something that people will see that say you are part of his brethren. And it's the glory. He mentioned it earlier on. So this scripture tells us that the reason why Christ suffered is not just for him. For he didn't just suffer so that he can just enjoy and then go to heaven. The main purpose is for him to bring many sons to glory, not a few. The emphasis on many sons to glory. That's why Paul said that warning every man, teaching every that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He says, the purpose for which Christ suffered is that he might bring many sons unto glory. And he will never settle for anything less. So that suffering also, let's read Romans chapter 8 verse 17. That is our purpose. That is our destiny, we all know. But my God is bringing this message again, it's because we are in that season. We'll see as we continue. Romans 8, 17, put it in the Amplified Bible. Amplified Bible. And let's all read together. Amplified, please. Let's read together. And if we are his children, are we all his children? Let's put up our hands today. Then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Say what? Sharing is his inheritance with him. What is that inheritance? It makes it clear. Only we must share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. That means the inheritance is the glory. I think it's clear. Let's read again. Let's read that. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Sharing his inheritance with him. Now, what is that inheritance? Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. That means the inheritance of every Christian is the glory of God. It's clear from that scripture. So what are we saying? As I began to mention some days ago, God spoke to me. I was just in the house and he spoke to scripture. He was bringing many sons through and he began to meditate and pray over it. And it became clearer and clearer why God brought the message to me at this time. Because we are in this season of his bringing many sons to glory. Praise the Lord. I just put the scriptures to explain these things as we go on. John chapter 12, verse 23, in Amplified because of time. John 12, verse 23. Are we there? It says, and Jesus answered them. Let's read. And Jesus answered them, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified and exalted. Next verse. Now began to tell them how. So I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives. But it's by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest. So this is a season which is bringing many sons to glory. So that word many again should remind you of the sons that God is bringing to glory in this hour. Praise the Lord. So we're in that season, we're in that time. And it's important, that's why the Bible says about Psalm 126, I would have to turn there. It says that he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless return with what? Sheaves rejoicing. So in those days, when the harvest came, they were first of all being first fruits, the sheaves, they were waving for the Lord. Like Pastor was saying earlier on, we're in that season, we're in that time, God is about to manifest his sons with his glory, even from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Praise the Lord. So I said, that word bringing, I went to examine it. That means it speaks of a process. A process. And it's not something that happens immediately. So I went to check the word process. You know what it meant in the Greek. In the context in which the Bible spoke about it in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 10. It means to lay hold upon. Say lay hold upon. To apprehend and to seize. And the reason why God got you and I born again is to apprehend that glory. That's what Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. He said that I may apprehend the purpose for which I was apprehended. That is, God did not just get us born again to be healed, to be delivered, to be prosperous. Those things are good. But the main reason why God got us born again
is that we might apprehend the same purpose for which you have been apprehended. And Romans says that we cannot apprehend that purpose if you don't partake of his sufferings. So, Romans chapter, go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Put in 18, Amplified. It says, for I reckon. Say, but what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, and in us, and for us, and conferred on us. Let's take those two verses again, because they are connected. Move up to verse 17. Because it defines the inheritance to us. Say, and if we are his children, then are we his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Only we must share his sufferings if we are to share his glory. Next verse. It is in that context that answer was said. But what of that? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us, and in us, and for us, and to be conferred on us. There is a glory that God is about to reveal through us in this end time and confer on us. So as I began to meditate and think about the scriptures, you know, God began to make it clear to me. I said, Aaron, let's open to what I said, Paul said, Philippians 3:12. You know, Paul was talking after he had raised the dead, after he had written probably almost was nearing the end of his life, I believe, after he had written many epistles to people, you know, it became clear to him. And you see, it's when you are running a race, it's when you can see the tape, then you increase speed. That is, you put everything you have into it. That once you can see the tape, the mark, as I said, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of a high calling. The mark is not the prize is the glory. When you get that mark, then you get the glory. I follow him, said, I press toward the mark of the prize of a high calling of God. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I also was, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Who was Paul following after? He was following after Jesus Christ himself. He was following after Christ. He said, I may apprehend the purpose for which I also was apprehended. So what are we saying? Bringing many sons to glory speaks about God laying hold on us, that we also may apprehend the glory. The same glory that Lord Jesus Christ manifested while he was on earth. Praise the Lord. So, I put it here. What is that glory? You see, when we talk about this glory, it's to refresh our minds. So we don't have a shadow of doubt about it. And like I said, we were running a race. The last leg is always the fastest. So I should, in case there's a problem along the way from lane one, the first three legs, you know, the last person must be able to run and be willing to die. Increase the pace. And run such a... And you know, the goal... It's clearer to the person that is on the last leg than the person that started the race. So you can see why Revelation is progressive. Now that if you read your Bible, these things were not clear in the beginning. We still be talking about it. Peter, they were talking about it. They didn't understand it. They were talking. But you see, that's why Bible says glory that is going to be revealed in the last days. Now because we are the last leg, now we can see. You know, the letter that is taking the last, once he gets the baton, automatically must see the finish line. So what he's seeing at the end is different for the person that took this first leg or the second leg or the third leg. For me, so that's why there is so much on this generation to make sure that first of all we see the glory and then we apprehend it. Praise the Lord. Or else all the efforts of those that have been running from lane one, lane two, three will not be in vain in Jesus' name. So that's why God is bringing back the message. So what is that glory? It needs to be clear to us. Psalm 8, verse 5 in Amplified. It's very clear. It's not talking about the glory of the former house. See, yet, let's forget, talking about Adam, when God created Adam, said, yet, let's forget, yet, you have made him but a little lower than God. I follow me in the King James, said angels, Elohim, or heavenly beings, and you have crowned him with what? Glory and honor. Now, what I want you to see here is this. It is this same verse that Paul quoted in Hebrews chapter 2. Talking about the glory of God. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 2. He said, how can you neglect such a great salvation? If you keep on reading, then that's how he now kept reading. I just want to read briefly, you know, so that we can see. It was this verse that he quoted. Move on to verse 5. in King James, verse 5. So, but to the angels, I did not put the words of prayer or the word whereof we speak. Next verse. But once in a certain place, 35, say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visited? That is quoted from Psalm 8. Next verse. That thou madest him a little lower than angels. Psalm 8. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Next verse. Thou hast put all things under him, in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see, not yet all things under him. Next verse. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he may, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It's not context. Next verse. He now said, for it became of him. For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Next verse. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. That means if you don't manifest the glory, you will be ashamed to call us brethren. Because he's talking about the glory. It is manifesting of glory. Next verse. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. Next verse. Say, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. He didn't finish it. Quoted from Isaiah. And for signs and wonders. What will bring the signs and wonders? The glory. In the earlier verse of Hebrews chapter 2, he said something. He said, how can we escape if we get such a great salvation? He said, which are the first ones being confirmed with signs and wonders? Put it there somewhere in the earlier verses. Why? The question, why? Listen. You need to understand, why do we experience gifts of the Spirit? The manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that we see. You know, all these things, gifts of faith. It is because of this great salvation. So God gave us that token. Are you following me? The gifts of the Spirit that we see. To confirm to us that there is a great salvation, but to confirm that the remaining is still going to come, which is fullness of the glory. That's why he said, how can we escape? Which was confirmed to us, from there I heard the next verse. Verse 4. Say, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So you see, all these things are not the end. God used to confirm to us what he was going to do. That is the earnest. So all these things you see, the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit that we see in the church today, that just God just to confirm. But look, there's something more. But we'll give you a foretaste of what is to come. He now used those signs and wonders to confirm it to us. Praise the Lord. So let's move on. And I put it, I say, what does the glory look like? So don't begin to imagine. Are you following me? Let's open to the book of Exodus chapter 24, verse 17. He makes it clear. So that if it has not occurred, we will know. When it begins to manifest, we will know. Next verse. How is they say? And the sight of the glory of the Lord. Let's begin. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like what? Devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Hold on. That is, every person saw it in Israel. Say, look like a devouring fire. Are you following me? Next verse. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount for 40 days and 40 days. What are we saying? The glory we are talking about, that God wants to restore back to his church, it will be in his sight like everybody, like devouring fire or like a cloud. His stomping said they saw it. They were not all seeing a vision. They literally saw the glory cloud. Filled the temple. They saw the glory cloud over them all the time. Pillar of fire by night and a cloud of pillar by day. They saw it. So that is what God wants to do. It looks and sounds impossible to us today because we have not seen it before. But I'm here to say that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If he has said it, he will do it. So we are going to see the glory of God manifest. If the Jews that were not born again will experience this, Moses was not born again. There was sin in his spirit, yet he went into the glory unto the man to talk to. How much more us that are made in him, at least spirit wise now. So these promises are based on a better, we are living under a better covenant. So that is what the glory looks like. Fire, say it looks like fire, also looks like cloud. Praise the Lord. On every Mount Zion, yes, sir.
I can read there, and God said, you know, when he was talking, because when we talk about salvation, you know, perfection, you know, it's become clear, the total salvation, the great salvation, the manifestation of that great salvation is the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And put it here in my notes. In that Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3, he said that which was the Lord himself began to speak about. And said those that heard him also confirmed it. The Bible says the mouth of two or three witnesses. Are we there? It says, how shall we escape if neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord himself, the master spoke about it. And then it was confirmed that it was by them that heard him. Number one, John chapter 17 verse 22. Where did he speak about it? Paul began to explain this great salvation we're talking about. I must not next. The master himself spoke about it. So, and the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Next verse. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, God is going to show to us that he loves us as he loved Christ. You see, that until the glory manifests, he's going to show that he loves us like the Lord Christ. Are you following me? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's why, that's the master himself spoken. And then this guy said, the writer of Hebrews said, that was confirmed by those that heard him. Who are those that heard him? John chapter 1 verse 14. When John was speaking, he said, and the word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul himself said, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, let us put there for emphasis. That is the reason why the gospel has been sent to you and I. Whereunto, he called you, by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is clear, this is why God has called us to obtain the glory. It is clear now, very clear, and that's where we are now. Praise the Lord. I put it here, why is this message very important to us? It's not a long message. I put it here, the primary reason why Christ rose from the dead and became our high priest and is praying for us is so that we can inherit that glory. That's the primary reason. You see, he did not rise from the dead and is not praying for us so that we can only be healed or prosperous. It is true. But the primary reason why he rose from the dead is to make sure that we inherit that glory. Save us to the uttermost. That is salvation that is taken us to the uttermost. That's why I said, how can we neglect such a great salvation? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That is why he's a high priest. That is why he cannot stop until glory manifests in a perfect church. Or else, if it's for us to get born again and go to heaven, then we'll have stopped interceding. That means his work is finished. If it's to be prosperous, you should have stopped a long time ago. Let's read that. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have what? A strong consolation. Who are fled for refuge, who lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. I said that word, bringing means to lay hold upon. To seize. We are to seize it. Lest it pass us by. Which hope we have as an anchor of a soul, both sure and steadfast, and that which entered into that within the veil. Next verse. Without the foreigner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The reason why he entered the holiest of all is to make sure that we also inherit that same glory. That's why he's staying there. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know. That's why he became high priest. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says that he ever lived to make intercession for the saints, and is able to save us even unto the uttermost. The second reason I have is that it is the manifestation of the glory of God that will make the world know that we are sent by God. Right now, a lot of people are saying that God sent me. But there's going to be a distinction. When that glory manifests, it sets apart those that God has sent. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 in Amplified. You see, the world can't believe until they see that glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 in Amplified. Let's see what it says. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds, that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from what? Seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and the likeness of God. Satan has blinded their eyes. They cannot see it in the Bible when you talk to them about it. not until the church manifests the glory, then they will believe. John chapter 17, verse 22, mentioned, I said that the world may know that they have sent me. It is the manifestation of the glory of God in the church of God that will make the world believe and know by experience that have been sent by God. That's why Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. He says, arise, shine, for the light is come. And what the glory of the Lord is upon you. And he says, why? Because of that glory. That is why Gentiles will come to the brightness of arising. That means if glory does not manifest, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 will keep on taking place. Satan begins to blind their eyes. I follow him. He says, put it in verse 1. No, put it back in verse 1. Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Next verse. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. He shall literally see the glory upon thee. Next verse. And means in addition to that, Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. The only thing where they're going to come is when they see the glory. Then they were attracted to the glory. They will see some they have never seen before. Praise the Lord. So that's the second point I have. The third point I have is that we are in the season of the completion of God's kingdom, of God's government, like Pastor said. That is the whole essence of this message. To ginger us up that we're in that time, we're in that season. Pastor has declared that we are in the season of the completion of God's government. And as I was meditating, I will bring out some scriptures to try and prove to us we're in that season and in that time. Let's first of all open book of Luke chapter 9, verse 26 in Amplified. Luke chapter 9. Verse 26 in the Amplified Bible. Luke chapter 9, Amplified. Let's get that. But whosoever is ashamed of me and of my teachings, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the threefold glory, the splendor and majesty of himself, our Father and of the holy angels. Next verse. So he's talking about the glory. However, I tell you truly, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God, the completion of God's kingdom, of God's government. Next verse. In that same context, now began to say, now about 8 days after these teachings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up onto the mountain to pray. Next verse. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance became altered, different, and his raiment began dazzling, while flashing with the brilliance of lightning. That is, when he spoke that message to them, that some of you are standing here, I will not die until to see the kingdom of God. I follow him, which is the government of God, the completion of God's government. It was in that same discourse that he took them to the mountain. And then he showed them what we call sample. Just an example. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. So when the pastor came and declared that we're in the season of the completion of God's government, which is God's kingdom, that means we are right in that time and season in which the manifestation of God, glory of God, will manifest. After 8 days, he took them up the mountain apart. Praise the Lord. And in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 9, verse 15, it was when they completed the temple that God filled with glory. So once the kingdom is completed or complete of God's mind, there automatically must be a manifestation of the glory of God. Numbers chapter 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. Praise the Lord. So we're in that season. So you see, once he began to preach, and he told them, that some of you are standing here that will see the manifestation of the glory of God, and they will not taste of death. In that time, he took Peter, James, and John to the mountain to pray. So it was fulfilled in their own time. Because once he manifested glory, they saw the glory. Like Pastor said, then he turned it down again. But was in the time that I began to teach, like that scripture says, began to teach about the completion of God's government, of God's kingdom, that he manifested glory. So we are in that same season now. That's why I said that, if the earlier verses said that, you know, if you are ashamed of me, somehow we are ashamed of you when he comes in the glory of his Father and of the holy angels. So the fourth point I have is this. God wants to remove the shame of Zion Church by the breaking forth of glory. You want to talk about shame. Different things may bring shame to the body of Christ. But there's a particular thing that has brought reproach and shame to the body of Christ. The absence of the glory of God. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 3. We quote the scripture often, but let's see how it applies to what we're talking about. That's the shame that God wants to remove. Isaiah 54, verse 3. I'll first of all quote it, and then I'll talk about it. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. You see, anytime you see the word break forth, it should remind you of the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 22. Let's just jump there. When God was going to manifest his glory, he told Moses, he said, go, let them make like a barrier, so I don't break forth unto them. Are you following me? It says, for they were departed from... No, I said Exodus 19, 22. 22, please. Talking about it, says, and he let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify them. So let the Lord what? Break forth upon them. That is, if you read the earlier verses, we're talking about when God came down in the pillar of fire on the mountain. So they should make what? Boundaries, barriers. So that the glory does not break forth. So when you read in Isaiah 54, back to Isaiah 54, verse 3, when it says that you have break forth on the right hand, on the left hand, what is it talking about? It's not only breaking forth in terms of physical things, you know, enlarging, but it's talking about the glory of God that will break. That is actually the real break forth. 54, verse 3 says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Next verse. Verse 4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. But the things we need to know here is this. He talks about break forth, and we shall not be ashamed. Now let's look at Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. We're talking about the manifestation of the glory of God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Why? Because they were clothed with the glory of God. That was why they were not ashamed. But immediately the glory departed. The Bible said, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. To explain what I'm saying. 3:10. Genesis 3:10. It is, they were not ashamed. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. And he said, it was after they fell and the glory departed. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. The Bible said earlier on that they were naked and they were not ashamed. But here they were, Bible says that they were naked and he said they hid. Why? Because why? They are afraid. Why? The glory had departed for them. So we're talking about the glory of God here. And I said, that is what it means when the Bible says that thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand. The second one I'm speaking about is the word ashamed. It's that thou shalt no longer be ashamed of the reproach of thy youth anymore. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. What makes this is the ultimate shame in this end time for any Christian is not to manifest the glory of God. Can you imagine if, for example, the glory to fill this temple today and maybe this section here? It covers this section here. And this section does not cover them. Mercy, Lord. I'm just giving you an example. God forbid. You are sitting down here. And somebody that sits down here. And glory covers this section of the church. And does not cover this section of the church. Well, what are we saying? He already shows that these are the ones that God has approved. I'm going to say, my people shall not be ashamed. So, if the glory should manifest today, that's as I say, the ultimate shame that any Christian can bear in this end time is for the glory to manifest and not carry the glory. I say, he's bringing messages. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, let's look at it a little bit closely. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. The hope that maketh not ashamed. I would say, by whom? Let's look at that. By whom? Also, we have access by faith into this grace. When we stand and rejoice, we are in hope of what? The glory of God. We are rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Let's move to verse 5 because of time. Verse 5. And hope what? Maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So the hope that will not make us ashamed is the hope of the manifestation of the glory of God. Because if you don't manifest, if I will manifest, we all manifest. If you don't manifest, you're going to be ashamed. The same thing that happened to Adam in the Garden of Eden. Nakedness will show.
The nakedness will show. Everybody will see it. So that God wants us to take heed to these things. Say, hope maketh not ashamed. That is the hope that will not make us ashamed. That will deliver us, that will deliver our nation, that will deliver the nations of the world. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to see that. And the fifth point I have here is the manifestation of the glory of God that will sanctify the true tabernacle. That is what is going to set it apart. You see, if the glory does not manifest, we're not going to know the true tabernacle from the fake one. Why? Because every tabernacle now is manifesting signs and wonders. The master said, many will come to me in that day and say, I have not cast out devils in his name. I have not done this in his name. He said, depart from you that walk iniquity. But when the glory manifests, it's going to set apart the true tabernacle from the false one, like he did in Egypt, in Goshen. It was so obvious. The Egyptians saw it. Even throughout their walk in the wilderness, all the outsiders were talking about it. They will see that cloud over them. Anytime they move, they will see the cloud. So everybody knew. So let's start Bible school. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace, let's go. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Christ. So it is something that God will do. Can you see that? It says that, and the very God of peace sanctify you. So it's God that's going to sanctify you wholly. Two things sanctify: the word of God and the glory of God. We're going to see. John 17:7 says that, sanctify them by their truth. Thy word is truth. So the word for us sets you apart and prepares you for the glory. As a washing of the water by the word. Then the second thing that will now set you apart, sanctify doesn't mean set apart, is the glory of God. Exodus 29, verse 43. Exodus 29, verse 43. Exodus 29, verse 43. Let's look at that. And there I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle shall be what? Sanctified by my glory. So the word sets you apart when you begin to obey. Using the washing of water, using the blood, water, and spirit. That sets you apart, preparing for the glory. Then God now sets you apart again with the glory. When he fills that temple with the glory. Praise the Lord. Now put it as a, how are we going to partake of the glory of God we've been taught? But I saw someone I was preparing, but he says that we must suffer with him so we can partake of that glory. And Pastor has talked about the glory we are supposed to, sufferings we are supposed to undergo. We're not supposed to die and go to the cross or suffer sickness or disease or poverty. No. We are supposed to partake of his sufferings, of self-denial. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and sacrifices, with strong kind and tears, unto him was able to sing for that. And he was hard in our flesh. Though he was son, yet learnt obedience by the things which he suffered. So those are the same sufferings that we are supposed to undergo. How? I put it there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Let's read together. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. That means before the glory can be revealed, there needs to be a measure of suffering that the body of Christ must undergo before they partake of glory. Like we read earlier on in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, Amplified. We have to suffer with him so we can also manifest the glory. And like I said again, that glory is not going to the cross, physical cross. It is the glory of self-denial. That is the essence of this message. That is, we need to buck up spiritually in the way of our self-denial. Waiting upon God, fasting, meditating on the word, denying yourself legitimate pleasures of this world so you can give more time to prayer. It is that self-denial that does one particular thing. It does two things. I can put it here. Pastor has taught us this. We suffer at two levels. We suffer, let's say, self-denial and also suffer persecution and affliction. We can't escape both. Mark chapter 4, verse 7. Once we begin to, you see, God is so wise in what he did. When God allows, Bible says, persecution and affliction ariseth for the word's sake. And it is the word that you obey that sanctifies and sets you apart. So when you begin to obey the word, what happens? Satan will raise persecution and affliction. Mark 4, 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Next verse. Where it begins to explain. And so, 4, 17. 4, 17.
and have no root in themselves, so endure but for a time. After when what? Affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. What are we seeing? Persecution and affliction will always arise for the word's sake. But see, the word that you obey is what first of all sanctifies you and sets you apart for the glory. Can you get the link? That's why I said that, look, if you partake of his suffering, then we partake of his glory. Are you following me? So, but the other aspect we need to understand is the aspect of self-denial. By fasting and praying, you know, denying yourself legitimate pleasure, so you can give more time to prayer. It's the power you now generate that does two things. One, it helps you to crucify the flesh so you can please God. And then the second aspect is that power you generate is what you now use to overcome the persecution and the affliction. I'll repeat everything I've said again because it's very important. You see, two things set us apart. The word of God sets you apart when you start obeying it. But as you start obeying the word of God, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, you will attract persecution and affliction. Satan will raise up doubt because he can see the end from the beginning, so to speak. So when he raises that persecution and affliction, is to make you drop the word. And the word has been destined to set you apart, to prepare you for the glory, which will ultimately set you apart from the world that they can all see. So that's what the word does. The word sets you apart, which sanctifies you. Satan now raises up dust and persecution and affliction so that you will drop the word. And once you drop the word is supposed to set you apart for the glory. Like we read in the book of Exodus, God said, I will sanctify the glory, the tabernacle with my glory. So what are we saying? Self-denial, I say, it does two things. It helps us to crucify the flesh so that we can please God. When you deny the flesh every morning, when you get up in the morning and you pray, you crucify your flesh in blood, word, and spirit, and pray all kinds of prayer in the spirit, you bind everything, just practice the seven pillars of wisdom. It does want, it helps to please God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 in Amplified. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 in Amplified. Ah, obey. Lord have mercy. So, since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, let's get that. Since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves with the same thoughts rather than fail to please God. That means you cannot please God if you don't suffer in the flesh. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with what? Intentional sin, and has stopped pleasing himself and the word, and pleases God. So once you is saying that, look, there is no way that you can ever please God if you don't suffer in the flesh. To self-denial. Once you suffer self-denial, the degree to which you suffer that self-denial determines how much you please God. And you know, of course, once you begin to please God, what will happen? What happened, Master, at River Jordan? Say, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That when the Spirit was released upon him. Are you following me? So, it is important for us through self-denial, are you following me, to please God. If you don't do that, there's no way we can manifest the glory. Then the extra power you generate in self-denial is what you now use by the grace of God to overcome the persecution and the affliction that the enemy brings. It's very important for us to know those truths. So I'll say it again as we stop the message. You know, it's a long message. How do we partake of his glory? Say it by bringing many sons unto glory, that the captain of our salvation suffered through suffering, was made perfect through suffering. So what suffering are we talking about? Basically, sufferings of self-denial, which is when we pray and we fast, we seek God's face, spend time more, denying ourselves of legitimate pleasures of this world, so we can give more time to prayer. When we give more time to prayer, what that thing does, it releases the power of God to crucify our flesh. So when we crucify that flesh, we cannot please God in the course of the day, which is what the master did for the for 18 years. At Jordan, God the Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then the second aspect of this self-denial is to release the excess power that is released from self-denial to overcome the persecution and the affliction that Satan will raise up. So you can see, once you start practicing this word, Satan will raise up persecution and affliction. But you must stay with it and keep on doing it. So that as you keep on doing, that sets you apart for the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord as we bow down to pray. Let's talk to God. Bringing many sons to glory. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. Let's sing this song, Oh the Glory. Oh the glory. Of your presence we your temple we give.
Confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that you want to bring many sons to glory through the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. I come to ask for fresh mercy and fresh grace to enable me to daily use the blood, the word, and the spirit to crucify my flesh of all its affections and loss, and I may be a partaker of a glory that's about to be manifested in your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Amen.